On this episode of The Prediction Trade, Hard Factor's Wes Shepard makes his return to have some fun analyzing the most highly anticipated boxing event of the year, the Floyd Mayweather-Logan Paul exhibition match. Wes shares how he'd bet on the fight, both for the winner and some prop bets.
All you false pretenders and you freaky contenders, trying to be the first. In my own opinion, you am not defending. You are the worst.
Welcome back to the prediction trade, where if you can trade it or bet on it, you can bet that we'll talk about it. I'm Jeff Joseph, the editorial director of Luckbox magazine, and I'm joined by Mike Reddy, an editor at Luckbox and the producer of the prediction trade. How are you, Mike?
Well, a little shocked, if I'm being honest with you, Jeff. I don't know if we're extremely lucky or extremely unlucky that such a notable and newsworthy event happened the year that we decide to cover the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if you heard this or not. This is breaking news out of the New York Times, but Medina Spirit, the supposed winner of the race, had a confirmed failed drug test. So I guess that warrants disqualification. The second horse in the history of the race to be disqualified for a failed drug test.
That just broke down. That's the second horse in a couple of years. That's quite an interesting development. It also changes the outcome a little bit for our prior guests. We had Molly Jo Rosen and Noel Michaels on, and they both had Hot Rod Charlie in their top three, and that moves Hot Rod Charlie up to the number two spot. So belated hat tip to them, but it's a shame. That seems like a lost opportunity for you, Mike. That's consulting revenues on drug testing that perhaps you could have earned from them.
I don't specialize in horses, but if I did, then I would be the perfect fit for the job.
I think it's a shingle you should be hanging out there. I know you have a lot of good wisdom to share, but let's talk about the past weekend before we invite our guest. Our past episode, we were schooled by Micah Roberts on auto sports wagering. Specifically, he took a good hard look at the upcoming NASCAR 600, the Coca-Cola race. That was this past Memorial Day weekend, and of course the Indy 500. So I was taking good notes on his advice and saw these parallels between some of the golf betting things that we picked up earlier too, and I basically checked off the Indy 500 based on Micah Roberts' handicapping that Scott Dixon at short odds was not going to be the best way to get some value in a play there. So I checked off that race and did not take the overwhelming favorite, who did not come in the top three. So
do you know where he did place?
17th, I believe.
Gee, he was the favorite.
He had problems. He literally ran out of gas on the way into the pits when he was boxing. So, came up short in a lot of ways. So waving off the favorite was a big piece of advice from Micah. So thank you. But where I actually cashed in was on his advice on the NASCAR 600. And that was really interesting to me. I had never wagered on auto sports before. I focused in on the two names that he felt strongest about. That was Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson went off at plus 400. Kyle Busch went off at plus 800. I put $100 bets on both of them. So total $200 at risk. And Kyle Larson in all four stages of the 600 was leading. He ended up winning, coming in first. Kyle Busch, his other pick, came in third. So, you know, you lose on the Kyle Busch win bet, but you pick up, get 500 back on the Larson bet. So plus 300, risking 200. Thank you to our past guests for some good advice and some good wagering.
Well, I think you're burying the lead here, Jeff, because if I remember correctly, Micah gave us five names that he really liked for the Coca-Cola 600. And of those five names, four out of five of them actually finished in the top five places of the race, right?
That's the
two Kyles, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch. He also mentioned William Byron and Alex Bowman. Byron got fourth. Bowman got fifth. The only name that didn't finish in the top five that he mentioned was Ryan Blaney, who I believe took 13th.
That's right. Yeah. So he was dead on. So we're definitely having him back for Autosports. So thank you again, Michael Roberts and Molly Jo Rosen and Noel Michaels from our handicapping. We should have had you on for the Belmont Stakes this coming weekend, but I guess our listeners are going to be on their own, or go look for Molly Jo Rosen and Noel Michaels commentary on Twitter. Perhaps they're handicapping the Belmont Stakes this weekend. But Mike, I think I'm ready to bring on our next guest. It's so good to have him back. He's always a lot of fun. Mike, go ahead.
Joining us on the show today is Hard Factor News' Wes Shepherd. Wes joined us last April with two of his co-hosts, Mark and Will, to talk about betting in the political prediction markets. Now, on that episode, Wes predicted Joe Biden would win the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, a winning trade. And in a Luckbox magazine article, we found out he's also pretty good at betting on golf, then up $10,000 in his golf betting lifetime.
Yes, yes.
Wes Shepherd, good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Hey, is it okay if I eat Skittles the whole time?
We were planning on it.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
I'll save it. I think that was part of your contract, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I must eat sour Skittles the entire time. No, thanks for having me back, guys. It's good to, it's been a long time, so it's good to hear your voices.
Mickelson, did you have him for a long shot for high odds?
God, I wish I did. And you know, it's... he was what, 20,000 or you know,
200, 300, yeah. 300 to 500 to one.
Yeah. I mean, you put $100 on there, you're having a nice day. No. And simply because I thought there was, you know, everyone thought there was no way when he's too old, but he was trending up. I mean, he was playing, well leading up to that event. And, just one of those guys that, you know, just flew under the radar. But you know, he pulled it off. He finally put four rounds together. He had had a bunch of, you know, really good rounds leading up to it, just couldn't string them together. And that's kind of how it goes with betting on golf, especially. It's like, you got to look who's trending up, and you just got to be lucky enough to catch them when they do get that win.
Yeah, we were watching that pretty carefully. We had one of our guests prior to that gave a masterclass on betting golf. We probably should have had you on for that as well. And so we were watching Mickelson, and that was for the Masters come PGA, though. That was a surprise. Mm-hmm. But did you get any piece of golf winnings thus far this year?
I did. I took Spieth. I had a pretty good run leading up to the Masters. I had Spieth at the Valero. That was a nice payday. I forget some other ones I had, but I've been cold. I was riding Finau for a long time. So I called it the Finau tax, cause he was just, you know, he was right there. I think I had a Max Homa bet too that I won, cause he was trending up when he won, out in California. But yeah, Finau was just trending up. He was coming in second place. And now he's fallen off. So I finally stopped betting on him. And then I've been riding Connors cause he's been hot. Shoffley cause he's due for a win. I mean, like I said, it's all about these guys who are just getting real close and just getting better and better each week. And you'll go broke if you try to bet on all these guys. So it's just a matter of luck of hitting the right one. And I hit Spieth at the Valero, which was great. You know, I'll just jump right into one of the plugs I want to do is our Patreon for Hard Factor, which is like our community where, you know, the different levels of you know, access. We do other shows other than Hard Factor. We've got like a Hive Hour, which is more of a, you know, like a radio style show where we just kind of shoot the shit and talk about whatever. It's more, you know, personal and, you know, we kind of just fly off the handle. And then we've got our Florida Man Friday show, which you know about.
Of course.
And then all the channels, it's like, you know, betting on golf, gambling, stocks, crypto, all that kind of stuff. So I was kind of like become this golf guy. And then I started, you know, people wanted to know my bets. And then when you don't win for a while, then they're like, fuck you. So I stopped kind of, you know, giving out the bets. But you know. Yeah, but I mean, I'm still up. I'm still up because that Spieth win was a big one.
Oh, that was your domain, was golf. We know that. And we just recently got that that golf masterclass, as I said. And one of the takeaways we had from that, particularly after our last episode of the prediction trade, was from Mika Roberts. He was our special guest. He's a longtime handicapper in NASCAR and Formula One and Indy 500. We had him on for the big race day over this past weekend. And Mika gave us some picks. And as he was teaching us about betting on racing, motorsports in general, it started to sound a lot like golf, where form and course are mm-hmm. the two primary factors to look at. You know, what's your form going into it, and mm-hmm. what sister tracks have the same, you know, how have the drivers performed on similar tracks? And
right.
it started, and plus the odds work pretty similar. In fact, as Mike and I mentioned at the top of this show, that he gave us some good Coca-Cola 600 betting tips that we were able to cash in on. So
nice.
So all good. Have you bet motorsports at all? NASCAR?
Is that? I haven't bet motorsports. I definitely try to, you know, kind of like with like horse racing and stuff, I'll bet on the big ones, you know, the Derby, Preakness, Belmont, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, but I have not taken any motorsports bets that, but the, you know, it sounds like fun. But not as of yet.
Yeah, and it rings a bell. It looks a lot like golf, so I think it'll be an easy take up for you.
Yeah.
So you guys have been busy on the show. We're big fans of Hard Factor, as you know, and hey, it was great that you actually had us on once a long time ago. We enjoyed that as well. And that was back during the political season when you were doing a lot of active betting on Predict It, wagering in political markets. That's kind of dried up a little bit. There's not a lot going on there, but are you still placing political wagers? Are you still doing anything in Predict It?
So, I mean, honestly, we have really kind of shifted gears on the show, even obviously with Trump being out of office, the political scene is nowhere near as fun. And it's frankly just kind of boring. So we've kind of and the show direction has kind of moved away from political stories, unless it's a really, really big story. Like we're going to cover, you know, the abortion in the Supreme Court when that goes down. We would cover the, you know, the child, you know, tax rate and stuff like that, stuff that people really need to know. But other than that, our show is kind of moved towards just really fun, crazy stories that we find online. We do an international TikTok moment where we find crazy stories from all over the world. That's kind of the way it shifted. So, the politics, you know, obviously we cover the COVID stuff, but,
you've been covering a lot of COVID actually, and that's yeah. not a lot of fun, but so what's your yeah. take on it? I know you guys have been spending a lot of time on the origins of COVID. So what's your summary from the Hard Factor crew?
I mean, I think China's obviously trying to kill us all, right? Isn't that what the consensus is?
That's the rumor. What the hell is a pangolin anyways? Do you know?
I don't know. It's like a little, like a duck thing, a duck rodent. I'm not really sure. I think that we're all very suspicious, you know, especially Mark, who's been kind of the taking the reins on the COVID talk and, you know, kind of was calling for this, you know, the World Health Organization to declare a pandemic early on. It's just very fishy. And obviously with them not closing the airport in Wuhan, I think is the biggest thing for me is that they were just complete assholes by not doing that. I mean, I think they knew they had something on their hands and it was the new year and they were just letting that virus fly in and out all over the world. And that really fucked things up. So whether or not they designed it in the lab or they're just careless in the lab is, you know, kind of what we're hoping to figure out. But, you know, definitely some blood on their hands over there, in my opinion.
It seems to be the new consensus. Yep. So so tell us about Fat Boy Summer.
So, okay, Fat Boy Summer. Obviously, if you've seen the show, you know that we are all very fat and out of shape. So a Fat Boy Summer is something that we were going to have, you know, regardless, just because of the circumstances of what we're dealing with. But Fat Boy Summer is a movement that we've started to embrace. It's basically just all about having a good time. The pandemic was long for everyone. We kind of got, you know, screwed out of a summer. So we want this summer to be the best one it can possibly be. It's about grilling. It's about, you know, shirt being optional is what we say, shirt optional. So feel free to, you know, let your fat fly, let the good times roll, no judgment, you know, helping people out. Just being, you know, getting back to kind of unity, getting this country back together by having a good time. Is
so
really
just
what
kind of rally around obesity then, right?
Yes. Yeah. Eat what you want. You know, no judgment. And like I said, we have no choice but to make it a fat boy summer. But we want
and the hot girl summer, they get too much attention. So why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's hot girl. You know, a world. So they get that all year round. And you don't have to be. You know, don't get me wrong. You don't have to be fat or out of shape to enjoy Fat Boy Summer. It is an all-inclusive movement. So it's just about, you know, being outside, grilling, having a good time, and making this summer the most.
So it's a state of mind as well as a state of body.
That's right. Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right.
Sign
Fat Boy
me up.
Summer.
Yeah.
Right.
I've been diving in, trust me.
Well, speaking of diving in, Eating Dips, that's your new podcast. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Eating Dips. So there's no, it's Eating Dips. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys, obviously you said when we were talking, you guys are moving towards crypto. And you know, obviously with all this, the Doge craze and Elon and all this kind of stuff, which we talk about a lot. Are you guys familiar with all these meme coins and like Pancake Swap and getting in and you know, rug pulls and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And you know, Luckbox okay. Magazine, you've been in it. We focus yep. on anything you can basically trade or invest in or even gamble on. And we're planning a crypto issue. That'll be the issue following our next issue, which is about gambling. We just launched an Amazon focused issue, and then our next issue is focused on gambling, and after that is crypto. So these are the two worlds that we collide. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously crypto is basically slightly educated gambling, right? Especially with these altcoins. So we came across an expert who is developing his own coin, his own wallet, much like a trust wallet or, you know, something like that. And the other four of us were really, we just want to make money in any way we can. We're degenerates. We want to gamble. We want high risk, high reward at all times. And crypto is a perfect market for that, right? So he started teaching us about these altcoins, and we realized we had no idea what the fuck we were doing. We didn't know how to do we didn't know how to sign up for Pancake Swap. We didn't know how to set slippage. We didn't know how to, you know, do any of that stuff. So we started this show. If you notice online on YouTube, a lot of the crypto shows are a little bit nerdy. They go over the charts. They give you information that you really, really need, but it's not that much fun to watch. So we wanted to kind of create a show that is more approachable to the common man that doesn't really know what they're doing, but wants to get into crypto, wants to make a little bit of money if they can and have some fun, but, you know, not make it necessarily like a way you're going to make your living. So that's kind of the show. It's we have fun. We talk about, you know, coins that we like. We give some tips. We kind of, you know, set people up on how to get into the markets. And you know, if you have any questions, you know, you can comment, but it's really just a crypto show for four idiots and one expert. And he kind of guides us. We talk about big misses that we could have had, like with, the Matic rise over the last month, or, you know, some of the other shit coins that rose a lot that could have made us millionaires. And we just have fun with it. We've got some segments that we do, but it's really just, it's really for people that are just kind of trying to get into the coin, that know what the hilarious environment of altcoins is, with the telegrams and all, like the porno that pops up on these telegrams and just the crazy pumping and, you know, the FUD and all that kind of shit. So it's just kind of more of a fun crypto show that we're trying to deliver.
All right. And that's available wherever podcasts are, right?
Yeah. It's on YouTube right now. We're going to be delivering a podcast version for the next coming episodes out. But right now, Eatin, EATIN Dips on YouTube is where you can find it.
Eatin Dips. Okay. Well, as you know, because you appeared on The Political Trade, you and your partners over at Hard Factor, that'd be Will and Pat and Mark, right?
Mark. Yep.
Of course. And so we had the four
don't
of you.
Don't forget about Mark. Don't forget about Mark.
I can't forget about Mark. Yeah, he won't let us forget. And this year, of course, we're really focused on a wider domain of experts. So instead of just political commentary and the political markets, the prediction trade is now focused on anything you can bet or trade on. So as I mentioned, we've had golf expert handicappers on, auto sports racing. We've talked about the Canadian election, the Belarus politics. We've really spanned a lot of different topics. And with the big fight coming up this weekend, We thought it'd be to continue with the DNA of the show is to focus on expertise. So we really wanted to lock in on a boxing expert and somebody who really knew.
Why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. And that's our question. Why are you here? Mike, I thought you were going to find us a boxing expert. That was the whole idea, right? Is that we focus in on expertise.
Yeah, you got the wrong guy.
Well, I would not want to box against Wes in all fairness.
Exactly. So in our limited world, we considered you a boxing expert based on the simple fact that we weren't willing to box against you. So
that's
why you're here. But we know you've been talking quite a bit about the Mayweather and Logan fight coming up. And, you know, we'll set the stage. Obviously, that's this weekend. It's a big fight in Miami. Mike, how many rounds is that? Do you know? Is it an 8-round fight? Or
I think it's eight. Isn't it? Yeah.
Sounds about right. We have Floyd Money Mayweather, 44 years old. One of the best pound for pound fighters in history, clearly, you know, a 50-1 boxer with 29 knockouts. He's only hit the mat once in his professional career. That was back in 2008 or 2004, I think. That was against Carlos Hernandez. No, back in 2001, actually. So he's only been on the mat once in his life, and he's a 50-1 fighter. And you know, he's the epitome of modern day boxing by every standard. ESPN calls him the greatest boxer in history. And of course, boxing is part of his family with his father and his uncles. They were all heavyweight champions or featherweight champions at one point. So in 2010, going back 10 years ago, he was the third highest paid American athlete with an income over $600 million. Since then, he's logged some big fights. So, you know, those numbers are way up there right now.
Yeah, but
27 wins by knockout, 50 total fights, 50-0. That's on one side of the ring. The other side, Logan Paul, 26 years old. His brother, actually, Jake Paul, you know, these are, you know, YouTube stars. He's the fighter. If one of the two of them has to be called a fighter, it'd be at least his brother who has a 3-0 record, right? He he had a number of fights. I guess more to his credit would be, his 20 million subscribers. Right. But he's knocked out his three opponents. But as you said, these aren't real opponents. Now we've got Paul's professional boxing record of 0-1 consists of one fight against KSI, English YouTuber and rapper.
He fought him twice, but the first one was a draw, and then he lost the second time they fought. So he's technically, he has never won in his two quote-unquote boxing matches that he's had. I guess the second one was the only professional one.
That's right, but they won something else. They found a little secret to making money here. That purse was somewhere between 20 to 75 million pounds each for those two, right?
Yeah.
So to say the least, there's some controversy here. There's a setup. What do you think about this?
So first of all, what we have kind of really obviously this is just a payday, right? I mean, that's all these boxing matches are. And you know, for someone that apparently can't read, Floyd Mayweather is extremely intelligent by doing all these. I mean, he's making a ton of money with this stuff, right? And what we've kind of talked about on the show is that we don't want to see Logan Paul fight Mayweather anymore, because Jake Paul is the guy that we want to see get his ass kicked by Mayweather. He is the more, you know, outspoken one. He's the one that obviously you saw the where he pulled off Mayweather's
hat. Yep.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. He is way more of an entertainer, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys, and more hateable than Logan. And we kind of think that it's a big miss to not have him doing this. But of course, you know, Logan got in first. It's just a payday. The question, I don't know if you guys think this too, but the question is, obviously, so Jake Paul or Logan Paul is going to be what, 190 pounds. If he's not 190 or under, he gets fined like $100,000 for every pound he's over, something like that. Mayweather is 160, right? So huge reach advantage, huge weight advantage. If Logan Paul, and I've seen some of his videos, he can throw a punch. He's a big, strong guy. He's athletic. He was a wrestler. He played football, blah, blah, blah. If he decides to kind of be a psycho and be crazy and he connects with, if he can connect with a punch, he could hurt Mayweather. Now, whether or not there's...
So he has a puncher's chance as the...
Of course, yeah. He's got a puncher's chance with just the sheer size advantage. But if he can hit him is the question. Now, I don't know if there's anything in the end that Mayweather, you know, behind the scenes said, look, you can't beat me. I can't go out. The last thing Mayweather wants on his record, his unofficial record, is to lose to a YouTuber named Jake, right? Okay. So it's just a question of how much shady stuff's going on behind the lines. And it's obviously not a real fight. It's an exhibition fight. And even Logan Paul has said that it's just, you know, this is going to be great for my brand. This is going to be great exposure for more fights like this. You saw in the Jake Paul fight when he fought the, Akron or whatever his name was, that was just a payday. I mean, he basically, you know, a lot of people think he took a dive or whatever. And he said after the fight that he was going to go enjoy his money and, you know, coach and all this other stuff. So, you know, you could drive yourself crazy in the head thinking about all the conspiracy theories and different scenarios of what could go down in the fight. But at the end of the day, it's a payday. I don't think that Mayweather is going to allow himself, whether or not it's realistically or contractually, to lose to Jake Paul.
Well, let's unpack a couple of those things. First of all, the payday concept, you know, not a lot of insight there because we've heard that directly out of the words of Mayweather.
I can fight a fighter right now, right? And I can guarantee myself, what, $35 million? I can guarantee myself $35 million. Eventually probably $50 million, right? Just a regular fighter, right? Or I can, me and Logan Paul or a YouTuber, we can go out and entertain and have fun and make nine figures, $100 million or more.
So he got a taste of that, as you said, in the Conor McGregor fight, right? That was a $100 million payday. Yeah. And that took 10 rounds. He won 10 rounds with him, which was a big deal. And then 2018, of course, he fought Tenshin, and that was 2 minutes and 20 seconds. I don't know what the payday was on that.
Right.
But let's go back to the tail of the tape because you mentioned it. And that's probably the only opportunity for there to be some excitement in this fight at all. And that is, you know, Paul's 26, Mayweather's 44. So we got a big age difference, obviously. Mm-hmm. Paul can weigh up to 190. pounds before the fight, as you said. Mayweather can weigh in up to 160.
That's just what his frame allows, I think.
That's right. And he'll probably end up with a 40-pound advantage is what they're thinking. The height, Logan Paul is 6'2", Mayweather's 5'8". And then the reach, you know, Logan Paul has a 76-inch reach to Mayweather's 72 inches. So Paul has 18 fewer years, 30 to 40 more pounds, 6 more inches in height, 4 more inches in reach. It's not much of a comparison there, but you mentioned something else that is important. And I was looking for some contrarian viewpoint on this because everybody, myself included, thinks, well, first of all, this is a lost opportunity. I don't care. I really even want to watch this and pay the $49? I certainly don't want to lay the 20-1 odds or the 16-1 odds that, you know, you currently have offered on this fight. Just, you know, put up 1600 to win 100 is not, you know, that's not exactly a value bet. So right. It's one of the reasons why all the money, the majority of the money right now is going towards Logan. He's seeing over 50% of the wagering right now because at least it represents an 8-1 payout and you can throw a couple bucks and have some fun and watch the fight. But I was looking for a contrarian view and it was kind of interesting. It came of all people from Joe Rogan, who basically, you know, acknowledged that, yeah, he's got a puncher's chance, Logan, in his words. He says, considering his height and his body, his frame, his actual size, apparently they met once on vacation somewhere. He said he's a big guy, so he has a little bit of knockout power potentially. And because he's a wrestler, his point was if the ref doesn't break this thing up in clinches and he allows Paul to wail on him in the clinch with some underhooks, that if he stays close and ties him up, at least he has a long shot, a long shot. Yeah, he admits it's a long, long shot. And that probably would be the strategy is not to go with the reach because he's not going to box and win anything. He's not going to box Mayweather. So maybe that's an indication of what we're going to see is Logan trying to tie him up, trying to do some wrestling moves, maybe a ref that, you know, is just trying to set up a good show here. And maybe maybe for that reason, we'll get a couple of rounds.
Yeah, I mean that sounds boring as all hell, kind of. You know, I mean, it's you don't. That's not what you want to see. It's like when you go, it's like, you know, when you watch a UFC fight, you don't want to see the guys kind of like back in the day. You don't want to see two wrestlers just on the ground the whole time. You want to see some stand up fight. But I think what everyone really wants to see is Logan Paul swing haymakers and Mayweather duck and dodge and float around and make him look silly. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, what I think the best case scenario is. And then maybe Logan Paul gets lucky and connects with one. But if they're just in there and, you know, Logan Paul's weighing on him and laying on him and trying to weigh him down with his size and, you know, throwing jabs, and I mean, that's boring. And that might kill future opportunities for these kind of matches. You know,
I think that's a surprising thing, is that maybe this is what boxing has become, because if anything should kill these fights off, it'd be the previous ones where you literally have no talents in the ring. But because, you know, with the strength of these TikTok and YouTube audiences, you know, kids are watching. My 17-year-old, his name is Jake, and I asked him his take on the fight. He's like, yeah, I'm going to watch it for sure. And I said, what's your call on it? And he said, well, if it goes over three rounds, then Mayweather and Paul definitely had an agreement as to how this exhibition fight would play out. And I think, you know, just something to be said for that. You know, there's another bigger story here that's missing. We talked about what the potential story is. It makes you remember the old days of boxing when there were actually promoters. Now these guys are doing their own promotion. They're acting as their own promoters. There's no, what's missing here is a Vince McMahon or a Don King to make me want to watch this thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jake Paul kind of tried to do that with his little, you know, stunt that he did, but you're absolutely right. You know, it's funny. I was watching, I watched this great documentary. I think his name is Bob Probert. He was an NHL player. And the documentary is called Tough Guy. And they were going back to like the golden days of like hockey fights and how the media and, you know, broadcasters would literally, you know, if two guys, like they were, it was Ty Domi and Bob Probert were going up against each other in a hockey game, and they hated each other. And that was what the game was about. It was like, when are these guys going to fight? They made it like a boxing match. And that made you want to watch hockey. And without that kind of promotion, you're right. I mean, that's kind of what these fights need. It's what it's kind of missing. And they tried to do, you know, with these exhibition matches with UFC, like with Kimbo and, you know, these guys that were just completely out of shape and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and going back to like what your son said, it is, you know, wrestling, the predetermined outcome, right? And the only thing that I kind of think about is Logan Paul crazy enough? Does he think that the payoff would be big enough for him to go against any kind of, you know, maybe agreement that they had? Because he's a wild card, right? He's a wild dude. He's done some wild stuff in his days. You know, will he go against the kind of verbal agreement that maybe these two guys have and say, fuck it, I'm just going to go in and wail on this guy and try to win?
Yeah.
And that could be amazing if that happens, but I just don't know if it's the case.
One of the things that guarantees we get a little bit of longevity out of this is that Mayweather's never been a one punch guy. You know, that's just that's not how he fights. But but you bring up hockey. Actually, now those were fun days. By the way, I remember as a kid going to watch Boston and Chicago play, and nothing was more exciting than waiting for Sanderson and Magnuson to go at it. Keith Magnuson and Derek Sanderson, those two were always battling. And it's funny you think about hockey, how popular it was before the third man rule came in the game, that essentially said a third man jumps in a fight, gets a game misconduct, and he's thrown out. And boy, that sure changed the it went from being a spectacle sport to a skill based sport, and that was a drag for a good 10 years. You know,
it took
a big punch. But there's a story that is embedded here somewhere in this fight that a promoter could have tapped into, and that could have been the size. You have a big size imbalance, and you have a crazy imbalance too. I mean, there's no question about it that these Paul kids are kind of nuts. But you're a gambler, and that means there's an opportunity there somewhere, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and walk through the odds and some of the gimmick bets, and let's see where we end up on it. We'll be right back.
Want a little more luck in your life? Get Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Named Best New Magazine of 2019 and 2020, Luckbox is the must-read magazine of active investors, big thinkers, side hustlers, entrepreneurs, gamblers, data geeks, and risk takers. You can buy Luckbox on newsstands, but with this special offer, receive a 10-issue digital subscription absolutely free. Visit getluckbox.com/TPT to receive the award-winning Luck Box in your inbox. Don't rely on luck. Get Luck Box. Learn more at getluckbox.com/TPT.
All right, we're back with Hard Factor's Wes Shepherd as our special boxing analyst in front of the Mayweather-Logan fight. Again, tapping the best resources we know out there to bring the boxing and betting tips to you. So, Wes, we've been talking about Mayweather, clearly looking at this as a payday, but what do you think's in it for Paul?
Same thing. I mean, they, you know, all the articles you read are kind of, you know, Paul could retire after this. But I think that he wants to kind of continue this. I think he may even want to try to build this kind of spectacle and make it, you know, maybe even its own kind of bigger thing where, you know, obviously you have like these celebrity fights that have happened before, but not to this scale. So I think maybe he's, you know, he could try to be building something with this where, you know, big YouTubers, you know, do this more often, these exhibition matches. He's definitely obviously going to make a bunch of money. I think he gets what, 25 or 10% of the pay-per-view.
Yeah. 250,000 to show up and then 10% right. of the pay-per-view.
Right. And I mean, he doesn't need the money either. I mean, he's a very successful YouTuber. He's got millions of dollars already. But I think that he might be trying to build this kind of, you know, this brand a little bit more and maybe, you know, create more of these matches. Who knows?
And just doing it with trash talk, right? I mean, that's
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beyond the brand, I gotta think it's good for boxing in general. I mean, you know, I growing up, I didn't know too many people who were really interested in boxing myself, but every single kid who follows this Logan Paul guy has gotta be turning their eye to boxing and at least being a little interested in it now, maybe considering yeah. doing it themselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, great point. I mean, any exposure from a different world as big as YouTube to you know, something else that draws the attention to people that wouldn't be interested in it is a good thing, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point.
Well, although there might be people in boxing circles that don't feel the same way. You
know? No, I'm sure there's tons of people. That
I mean, you could say it's good for MMA or it's, you know, it's good for, you know, for
yeah.
cage match wrestling. It's not necessarily good for the boxing sport. There's got to be guys that are turning over in the grave with
purists don't think that this is a boxing match. They don't even consider it a boxing match. You can bet on it. They'll be in a ring with gloves on, but they don't consider it a boxing match.
I think Mayweather McGregor pushed the realms of that because at least that turned out to be entertaining, right? I mean, you had a big fight there. The two of them earned a combined $280 million. And there were punches thrown there. And in that fight, there were Mayweather threw 320 punches, landed 170 at 53%. McGregor threw 430, landing 111 at 26%. But at least there was something to watch there, and it went 10 rounds. I guess the most exciting stuff here has been the trash talk so far.
Speaking of which, we've got a clip from a press conference, I believe it was, that was held about a month ago. And, you know, I find it interesting that Mayweather's been taking a very even-keeled approach to this whole situation, especially when you get Logan Paul saying things like this.
I know what he did to Japan, so guess what? You have to pay for what you did to Japan.
Is this you trying to rally an entire country around you?
So,
well, I know what you did to your wife.
One thing about me.
Floyd's 50-0. Nah, he's 51-1. He beat his wife, too.
He's entitled to feel how he wants to feel.
Say, well, covering Florida Man Friday, that's a topic you know a little bit about, Wes. What's your take on that?
Those are fighting words right there. Yeah, those will get you get your ass kicked. I mean, look, everyone, you kind of looking at it from like just a perspective of you know, showmanship and whatever. If Logan Paul doesn't hit on those things that are just out in the open about Mayweather, you know, like I kind of joked about before, he can't, you know, literally can't read. He beats his wife. If he doesn't hit on those things, then it kind of looks fishy, right? If he really wants to talk shit, if he really wants to be get under this guy's skin, he's got to go for the jugular, and those are the jugular topics, just like Mayweather tried to do with him with the whole, you know, suicide forest in Japan, which he was alluding to when he said he you know, was going to make up for the people in Japan. If you don't go for those jugular items, then you're not doing the best job you can do at talking shit for these fights.
Well, so let's see where we put our money down then. So this is an odd one, obviously, taking a look at the numbers that are out there. Of course, we're going to have short odds on Mayweather, you know, to the tune of 10,000, you know, negative 10,000 at the outset. But so far, according to Odds Checker, 51.5% of bets have been backing Logan Paul. Not completely surprising, considering the payout. You know, he initially came out as a, well, let's say, actually as 51.5% for Logan Paul, 3% are betting on a draw, and 45% betting on Mayweather. The shortest odds out there right now seem to be a Bet365. DraftKings and FanDuel haven't put up numbers on this yet. So Mayweather is minus 900. So you're putting down 900 to make 100. And Paul is plus 500. So you bet 100 to get 600 back. So that's what the numbers look like. Big spread, I'll tell you that much. We know who the big winner is going to be. Mm-hmm. So you got to, what's your take? Let's say you're forced to bet this one. And my easy answer is, I would, you know, I'm not betting those kind of, you know, short odds for the obvious favorite. But you're forced to bet, and you're our expert today on the prediction trade, Wes. So how are you betting this?
I mean, if I'm forced to bet, and we're not talking like life changing, you know, I'm biting my fingernails watching this damn thing, I go for the long shot. You got to go for where the most value is. And that's Logan Paul. That's where I'm going.
And unfortunately I agree, which is another way of saying goodbye to, goodbye to your money, but there's probably more opportunity on the prop bets and they're a little bit more fun. So I don't know if you've seen these yet. So we're going to run these by you in a lightning round here. First to bleed, Paul minus 600, Mayweather plus 350.
Oh, you got to think that Mayweather is going to make him bleed first for sure. Yeah, he's going to, you know, even if it's just a little jabs here and there, he'll get him.
There you go. Knockdown. So again, like I said, one knockdown in his professional career. Actually, there was a second one that came after that Carlos Hernandez fight, but the ref considered it a slip. So it didn't get credited against Mayweather. So only once has he ever hit the mat. So those odds are, let's say, Mayweather not to be knocked down, a thousand, minus 1,000. So you bet 1,000 to win 100.
Right.
Yeah. Mayweather to be knocked down, plus 550. You ever touch that?
Yeah. I mean, I again, go back to the way I'd bet the entire fight. The degenerate in me wants to take those long shots and make it, you know, more fun. And like we were talking about at the beginning with the puncher's chance, if he connects with one, he might get him to go down. So I would take that one.
So the analysis is that at plus 550, and listen, he's not going to win a decision ever, right? Right. There's no scenario where a decision goes to Paul. So if you're going to bet him to win, you actually have better odds on the knockdown plus 550 than the
The other way around, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. On the fight, he's plus 500.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you pick up $50 that way on a $100 bet if you bet the knockdown. So it seems to be the better bet. Paul to be knocked down is minus 350.
That's not bad. And that's not bad. And I think that that'll probably happen too. I think that you know, Paul's in great shape from what I've seen. I don't know what his actual boxing stamina is, but I mean, we know what Mayweather is lighter and he can run around all day. So in the later rounds, I think you're going to see a Paul knockdown.
I think that's my bet too. Paul to be knocked down, laying 350. You're not paying a big price here for, that seems to be the best thing I've seen so far. And then there's round betting, of course. And the numbers are complex to go into, but with Mayweather winning in the first round, it's 350, goes up all the way up to plus 1400 for the eighth round. But if you had to pick, where should the over-under be on the rounds? Where do you think this thing ends?
I mean, as far as who, you know, round to round?
Yeah.
I think Paul, so this is where my degenerate conspiracy theory mind kicks in with the agreement that they may have had in the beginning of this whole thing, like we were talking about the wrestling, you know, agreements, the predetermined outcome. I feel like Logan Paul could take round one. I feel like that might be something that they give him. So I would go for any, if Logan Paul is going to win any rounds, they're going to be real early. So I would take, you know, maybe round one, maybe round two, but then if it goes the rest of the way, I mean, you're looking at 9-1, 8-2.
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah. It's an interesting take. So I guess looking at the prop bets, what we came up with is that the best way to bet Paul is that, that he gets a knockdown.
Hope he wins the first three rounds with a knockdown.
Right. It's where he's plus 550. And the best way to bet Mayweather is, of course, a knockdown minus 350. That seems to be our best odd place. And of course, the disclosure here, the disclaimer is you are the boxing betting expert here. So,
of course, right, yes, right. I've been doing this for years.
Yeah, you want to tell us a little bit more about how you earned your street cred on this?
No, I don't. It's a very easy explanation. I have no street cred. I just,
So that completes our disclaimer then.
Yes. Don't listen to me is the disclaimer. Do not listen to a word I fucking say about this. This is, you know, I'm just talking out of my ass.
Yeah, but you continue to do that on a daily basis. So you can follow Wes Shepherd on Twitter at Hard Factor Wes and also at Hard Factor News. The website, of course, is hardfactor.com. And the Patreon account that he mentioned is patreon.com/hardfactor. Listen to the Hard Factor News Show wherever you listen to podcasts. And right now on YouTube is Eatin' Dips and soon to come on a podcast platform near you. Wes, always good having you on. We're going to do something with you on crypto coming soon where you have a lot more street cred than boxing cred, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we're experts on crypto. I mean, if there's one thing we know, it's how to make a ton of money in crypto.
And we're going to bring you back for golfing. Hey, great to have you on again. Thanks so much for doing this with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Great to be with you.
Well, thanks again, Wes. And Mike, where do we go from here?
Before we wrap up, got a couple of announcements here. First and foremost, the latest issue of Luckbox magazine, the Amazon issue that we mentioned in the last episode of the prediction trade, is now live and on newsstands nationwide. You can find them at Barnes & Noble's, but if you're not going to find yourself at a newsstand anytime soon, you can get it digitally for free at getluckbox.com/TPT. Also worth mentioning, Jeff, you're appearing on another podcast on Friday, aren't you?
Oh, that's right. In a couple days, you'll hear me on Anthony Scaramucci's podcast called Mooch FM. Anthony's a friend of the prediction trade. He's been on a couple times, and I guess he returned the favor. So we're on talking about Luckbox. We're talking about Amazon and a number of different things. And like I said, Anthony's a good friend and enjoyed being on his podcast. So that's coming up this weekend as well. And I guess that's about all we have for this episode of the prediction trade. If you like what you heard, tell your friends about us, and please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out theprediction trade.com to sign up for a newsletter, find us on social media, or send us a message. And you can also find the prediction trade in print in each issue of Luckbox magazine. Just go to getluckbox.com/TPT to read the latest issue of Luckbox digitally for free. So thanks again for joining us. This is Jeff Joseph.
And I'm Mike Reddy.
And remember to always wager responsibly, believe in math, master your trade, and join us next time on the Prediction Trade.